Good morning. Didn't you enjoy that music? Would you just express it to them? Yeah. Amen. And you know that it wasn't just music, right? That was worship. That was a time of worship. And so while you're listening to those words and the soothing sounds of those violins, I love the violin. Such a beautiful, beautiful, quieting sound. Your mind begins to move along with the words that you hear, and the emotions that music brings out of you begins to help you to, it's like listening to a sermon. It's like someone reading the Bible to you, and you begin to hear that, and you're relaxed, and your mind is focused on it, and you start, the Holy Spirit then starts taking you to places in your life and reminding you of things and challenging even some things. So it's great. It's great to see a family like that too. Two boys and two girls. That's the way I was growing up with our kids. Had two boys, and the boys were on the bookends and the two girls in the middle, and we used to sing a little bit. We've repented of that and told the Lord we're so sorry. But the kids haven't forgiven us yet, but the Lord has on that. But when you see a family like that, the one thing that you are aware of is somebody's providing leadership. To have all four of your children being able to play instruments like that, being able to sing like that, somebody in that family is having a leadership influence upon them. And we know who that is. It's the parents. All right. All my kids played athletics, so you knew we were having a leadership influence upon all of my kids because all of them played all kinds of athletics. If it was a ball involved, they were always willing and ready to get involved with that and still are. And so I'm talking about leadership. You remember last week I said that leadership is influence. And the need that you have at Madison Avenue Baptist Church in these days of transition to a new pastor is for leadership. Leadership from the pew. Leadership that comes from you, because everybody here is a leader to somebody. And I tried to share with you what leadership was and give you the basic points about leadership that I wanted to share with you. And today I want to continue, and next week also, I want to continue talking about leadership, but I want to do it by giving you examples out of God's Word of leaders. And so you can see people who were just like you and me at times and how they were used by the Lord to be able to provide the leadership that was necessary in order for God's will to be done. Because what you need now at Madison Avenue is for leadership to come from the people, from the members, from those that God has brought here. The story is in 1 Samuel 17. We'll read that in just a moment. You know it as the story of David and Goliath, the classic story of the underdog versus the wonder dog, the little man against the big man, the weak man against the strong man. You see, before Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there was David and Goliath. And the story has been told and retold all over. Before the American hockey team won the Olympic gold medal against Russia in 1980, there was David and Goliath. Before Vanderbilt beat the University of Tennessee last year, there was David and Goliath. So the moral of the story isn't that smaller or weaker underdogs can win against a bigger and stronger opponent. That's not what this story is all about. The moral of the story is, if you're fighting the Lord's battle, if you're doing the Lord's work, it doesn't matter how big the opposition is. It doesn't matter who it is that's coming up against you and how overwhelming the task looks. It doesn't matter how big the enemy is. God will give you the victory. Now, if you believe that, say amen. All right. That's true. That's what the moral of this story is all about. So don't get caught up in the giant and don't get caught up in the big and the little. But just realize that no matter what you face, if you're in the center of God's will, if you're doing what God's work is and called you to do, you're going to face some issues, but you're always going to be able to win the victory. So the most important lesson we can learn from David and Goliath is this: how you and I should face the giant standing in the crossroads of our lives as we try to serve the Lord. Let's look at the scripture, and I ask you to stand with me, please, as we look at this familiar passage in 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war, and they assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damon, between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill, the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels on his legs. He wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Notice he didn't say the God of Israel, the servants of Saul. He said, choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. And then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. And on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Have we got a sound system problem? Amber alert. Amber alert. Okay. All right. All right, you may be seated. The first thing I want you to see about crossroads and the fact that David is at a crossroads in his life, the people of Israel are at a crossroads in his life. You and I are at crossroads in our lives from time to time. Crossroads are defining moments in our lives. Most of the days that we have in our lives are normal, right? And we just go about doing normal things almost every day. You go to work, you run errands, you talk to your family, you take the kids to school, you decide what you're going to eat, and you do 1,000 other things, because every day is, most of those days are normal. But every now and then you come to a day that is not normal. They are abnormal, that you're going to have surgery. That's a tough day. That's a defining time in your life. Or you're going to confront your spouse about a marital issue that needs to be discussed. Or you're trying to decide whether or not you should make a major purchase in your life. And that's going to influence you for some time. You're going to decide where your family is going to worship. What church are you going to be a part of? Are you going to teach Sunday school? Are you going to become a deacon? Whatever it is. So from time to time, though, we all come to a day when we're confronted with a defining moment. A day comes when we come up to a crossroads in our lives and we are forced to make a decision. Shall we go this way? Shall we go this way? Shall we go this way? Shall we turn around and go back the way we came? It's a defining moment. And the choice that we make, the direction that we choose, is going to influence our lives for the rest of our lives. You've had those, haven't you? You've had those times where you face those defining moments. When we experience a defining moment in our lives, it means that a door may be open for us to go through. That an invitation is being given to us to do something. Or maybe it's a temptation is being placed in front of us that we're going to have to deal with. And our destiny for the rest of our lives hangs in the balance and will be determined. Your whole destiny from that point on for the years to come will be determined by the choice you make in that defining moment of your life. And we've all been there. In the very near future, Madison Avenue Baptist Church is going to be facing a defining moment that will shape the future of this church and the future of most everybody here for the rest of your lives. You'll be calling your next pastor. You'll be calling your new spiritual leader for the church. And my goal as your interim pastor is to help you prepare for that defining moment And so today I want you to see David the leader today. Not the giant killer, but David the leader, and see what we can learn from him. See, the army of Israel is up against the Philistines, which they were quite often. But the army of Israel doesn't realize they are at a crossroads in their lives also. They come together in the Valley of Elah. One army gets on one hillside, and the other army gets on the other hillside, and there's a valley down below, and everyone's thinking, well, we're all going to go down there and fight, and some of them are going to get killed, and whoever has someone alive afterwards is going to be called the victory. They don't realize it's a defining moment. The future of Israel and God's purpose for David is being blocked by a giant that comes down there every day. For 40 days he's been doing this, and David's life and David's ministry could be stopped right there at that point, as he's going to face that giant in the center. Standing in the middle of that crossroad for David is a giant Goliath. He is 9 feet tall. I had to get another stand to be able to get up, but I'm only 6'3". 9 feet tall. That's taller. That's a foot taller than the tip of my fingers. 9 feet tall. He is a huge, huge giant. His armor alone weighs 200 pounds, more than most of us would weigh. The tip of his spear weighs 25 pounds. And for 40 days, he's been confronting the Israelites at that crossroads with his challenge. Send your best soldier out here to fight me, and I'll take him on, and he can take me on, and we'll have a one-on-one winner-take-all. And most of the soldiers won't get hurt, but one of us will be killed, and whoever loses, the army loses, one man, and that's it. So It's a different way of doing things, isn't it? Battles could be fought that way back in those days. One man from each army would come out into the middle and fight, and one from the other. And instead of 1,000 men fighting, two men fights. Instead of 900 men dying, only one dies, and then the whole army loses. I think that would be good. I like that kind of warfare. If America ever gets into something like that, I'm voting for Arnold Schwarzenegger to be in the next election. I want him to be the guy for us that goes out there. But at every crossroads we come to in life, there is usually a giant standing in the middle of it, trying to block us, trying to keep us from being able to do what it is God's called us to do. Goliath represents the all-out attack of the enemy to knock you out, to pull you down, to push you backwards, and to keep you from fulfilling God's given purpose in your life and in the life of your church. He'll try his best to intimidate you. You know why? He thrives on your fear. He thrives on your fear. All Satan has to do to defeat some of us is fear. Fear of losing our jobs, fear of being embarrassed, fear of losing our paycheck, or fear of not having what we think. Whatever it is, he thrives on fear. He doesn't have to do anything more except get you to be afraid of whatever it is that's standing in the middle of your crossroads. He wants you to think it's impossible for you to do what God wants you to do. He says you're facing an overwhelming task, and then he threatens to tear your life apart if you try to do what God's telling you to do in your crossroad. He wants to convince you that you're too small to be able to overcome that giant. You're too weak. You can't do that. You're too young. You're too old, maybe. You're too busy. You're too inadequate. You're too inferior. You can never do anything like that. And if you don't want to be destroyed, you better take a different road than the one you're trying to take. What's the giant in your life? What's the giant in the crossroad of your life when you get to this next defining moment? What God is trying to get you to do, what he's trying to lead you to do along the way. What's that thing that is holding you back, that's keeping you from serving the Lord? You love to follow the Lord, but you work so much you don't have time. Is that what it is? Your job's kind of in the way and you don't want to lose that job. Maybe you want to serve the Lord, but you don't think you've got the kind of gifts that it takes to be able to serve the Lord. God can use all of us no matter who we are. Maybe you were abused as a child. Maybe you came from a dysfunctional family. So you believe the Lord couldn't use you because of all the things you have, all those weaknesses, all those strongholds, and all that stuff that you have a struggle with. Maybe you used to serve the Lord, but now you've been divorced, and you know God can't use divorced people. That's what the enemy will tell you. That's not true. That's not true. Maybe you lost a loved one, and now you think you can't do it because now you're single. Maybe you're even a little angry with God because of some of those things. And there's something that's there that's being your obstacle, that's a giant in front of you, and you're struggling with it right now. Maybe you've gotten older now, and you think it's time for the younger members to do all the work. I don't know what your giant is, but I know all of us face giants in our lives. Things that look to us and cause us to question God and cause us to want to go a different direction and give us all kind of excuses why we don't have to move in the direction we know God wants us to go. So let me explain maybe what happened to you. If any of those things give you any idea of the giant that's in your life, let me explain to you what I think happened to you. You came up to a crossroad in your life, and you had to make some choices. And it wasn't just, you know, where am I going to eat today, or what am I going to drive today. It was a choice of a defining moment. The choice you made is going to influence and shape your life from that point on. And you made a choice about which way your life was going to go. But in that defining moment, you saw that giant standing in front of you, and your fear stopped you in your tracks. You were so intimidated, and you haven't done anything for the Lord since then because you didn't make that right choice in your direction. You haven't grown spiritually since then, and your spiritual life has been in retreat because you were afraid of the giant that stood in front of you in that crossroad. Goliath is a symbol of the strongholds in our lives. The giants that are inside of us that we've experienced, and for whatever reason, that keep us in bondage and prevent us from taking our lives in the direction where God wants us to go. The giant of greed, the giant of anger, the giant of laziness, the giant of drugs or alcohol, the giant of bitterness, the giant of lust, the giant of ego, or you name it. There are all kinds of things that appear to be giants in our lives. Through the years, I'm sure there have been some at Madison Avenue Baptist Church who could only see this church as a small community church with small possibilities. And they liked the little group. They liked being with their friends, and they liked being around people that were like them and talk like them, look like them, and dress like them. And they thought this is good. And they disliked the church, and they thought it had small possibilities. They couldn't envision that the day would come when you could slay giants here in this church. All they could see was a little church with a few people who loved each other and liked to worship together. They couldn't see that this church was on a mission to reach hundreds, even thousands of people for the Lord. God didn't go through everything that he went through to put life into this place for just a handful of people. But he wanted this church to be used to literally reach thousands of people, not just in this community, but around the world. And that's God's vision for this church, I believe, that Goliath is that symbol of the strongholds that hold us back and keep us away. I've heard enough to know that the church has faced many crossroads through the years, and they faced many giants. You had to attack the giants that stood in the way and you who tried to keep you from going the direction that God was calling this church to go. You're standing at another crossroads today. Whether you realize it or not, whether you accept it or not, you are standing at another crossroad in the life and the history of Madison Avenue Baptist Church today. And I want to promise you that the enemy will be ready to provide another giant to jump in your crossroad and jump on your defining day to try to stop you from being the church that God had the vision for that church to be 70 years ago. Back in the 50s when it was started. You're facing another defining moment. Giants are lining up to stop you. So it's a defining moment. But secondly, I want you to see with David and his leadership that the giants in our lives reveal who we really are. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." He's talking about himself. Here's a little boy. He's been out watching the sheep. He brings lunch to his brothers who are on the battlefield. And here he hears what's going on with this Goliath, and he doesn't understand why someone doesn't go down and take care of him. Someone might ask, why does God allow us to face giants? Why are there giants in front of us? Why do we have to face those kinds of circumstances and situations? Why didn't God just give Goliath a heart attack and let him die instead of putting all that stuff on? Why does God allow those giants? Someone has said that a crisis doesn't determine your character, it reveals your character. And so when you face a giant in the crossroads of your life, it will simply reveal who you really are. It will tell you who you are and what you are. Not who you think you are. Not what you think you are. But the crisis in our lives reveal who we really are. Does it tell God who we really are? No, because God already knows. But we face a crisis in our lives so we will know. We will see who we really are. And others around us will see who we really are as well. Giants are important. Because when we face them, we can learn more about ourselves, who we really are, and who God is in our life. Saul's the king. He's the biggest man in the camp. That's why they elected him. He's tall and handsome. And so they elected him as king. And he's the man that you would think, with the armor and the strength to go down and face this Goliath, but he refuses to fight him. The soldiers have been trained and they've been equipped to fight the battle, but none of them are willing to face the giant either. But here comes a little shepherd boy named David, who without hesitation volunteers to fight the giant in the crossroad of Israel. How could he do that? David was a man after his own heart. We know that, but he's just a teenage boy now. But he had learned that God never sends you unprepared into the crossroads of life. He always prepares you, and he strengthens you with little challenges in your life before you have to face the giants in the crossroads of your life. Here's what he said. "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." A lion and a bear, he said, had attacked his sheep, and he had killed them with his slingshot. So he believed, because of what happened back then, that God would do it again, even with this giant. See, the reason why some of you have lost the big battles in your life on those defining moments, I mean, you made the wrong choice and you went the wrong direction. The reason why you've lost your big battles with the giants in your life may be because you lost the little battles before that. Little battles. You see, if you had won the little battle of worship in your life and you had been in church week after week after week, studying your Bible, being there, I mean, you in that time of worship, then maybe you'd been able to overcome the fear of that giant in your crossroad. I told you last week that, or 2 weeks ago, that my life was changed in a worship service, in a Lord's Supper service. And that's where I made my commitment, never dreaming about being in the ministry, but made my commitment that wherever God wanted me to go, whatever God wanted me to do, that I was willing to do it. It was in a time of worship. And so a year later, when God called me into the ministry, I realized now that I was able to make the right choice in that defining moment because I had won the little battle of worship on that Sunday night in church. And so if you learn how to win the little battle of making worship a regular part of your life, when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it, when you want to go and when you don't want to go, but you make it a key point in your life where that's what you're willing to do, then when you win those little battles in worship, then you can start winning the big battles in the crossroads on those defining moment days. If you read your Bible every day, I mean, there's some things I don't have to pray about anymore. You know why? I've already seen God's answer to my prayer in the Bible. And I've memorized that and I've learned that. And so I don't have to pray about, should I forgive somebody who's offended me? I know that's true. I know I have to do that. I don't have to pray about giving my tithe. I know I have to give my tithe if I want to be obedient to God. And so I've read the Bible. You read the Bible, and you can start praying about other things rather than the same thing over and over again, because God's given you the answer. And if you win the battle of a daily devotion and putting Scripture into your mind every day, we hide the Word of God in our hearts so we'll not sin against Him. And you win that little battle of a daily devotion, and you win the big battle when you face the temptation. Prayer life is the same thing. If you learn how to pray, you don't just pray for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or just pray at meals, but you do what Paul said and say, pray continually. Continually. You're always in a state of prayer, driving down the road, listening to a song on the radio, talking to something. You can pray in an instant. You can pray in 3 or 4 seconds a prayer that would be a life changer. But if you're not used to praying, if prayer isn't a regular part of your life, and you wait until a defining moment to start praying, you're not going to have the kind of relationship with the Lord or the knowledge of God to be able to make the right choice in all of those things. So you see where it's at? The reason why some of us lose the big battle is because we lost a little battle. And so David said, I can defeat this giant because I know God did this in that little, compared to Goliath, the lion and the bear were nothing. But because God did that, I know now he can do this. There was no one who thought David could kill Goliath. Not his father, not his brothers, not King Saul, not the soldiers, and certainly Goliath didn't think he could do it. But David knew God, and more importantly, God knew David. And he knew David was faithful in the little things because God had prepared him to do great things with this Goliath. Everyone meets a personal Goliath at the crossroads sooner or later, a place where you decide how serious you're going to be in your relationship with the Lord. And the choice you make when you get to that point where you face that giant, you're having to make the decision about how what kind of relationship you're going to have with the Lord will always depend upon how you've been doing the little things before that. Worship, Bible study, prayer. The soldiers of Israel said they believed in God, but when Goliath walked out in front of them, they revealed their fear of the giant was greater than their faith in God. They're not going out there. They're not going to face that guy. They're not thinking about what God can do. They're thinking about what they can do. See, it's easy to say you love God and his church until you meet Goliath at the crossroads in your life. It's easy to say you love God until you're asked to give financially or serve the church or follow a new pastor when he's not the same as the last pastor or any other pastor you've ever had. At that crossroads, when you come to that crossroads, you will find out who fears God and who fears the giants. And then thirdly, we learn about leadership from David, because Goliath was the best thing that ever happened to David. You wouldn't think so at the time. Nobody thought so at the time. But the truth is, Goliath was the best thing that ever happened to David. David's life was going to be radically changed because of this encounter with Goliath. He's never going to be the same. It's going to be totally different. David asked the soldiers what would be given to the man who killed the giant. And they started telling him, Saul, they said, had promised the man who killed the giant, he gets a large sum of money from him. And he also said, the one who kills this giant will have the hand of his daughter. Now, maybe David hadn't seen the daughter. He may not have wanted that. But said he's going to get the hand of the daughter of the king. And then, we'll all love this. And then whoever kills this giant will never have to pay taxes again as long as they live, and neither will their family. That might get some of you up off your pew. I would promise that, right? Saul was true to his word. So after David did kill, and he became a hero. He became wealthy. He married Saul's daughter. His family paid no taxes, and God was exalted. None of that would have happened. None of that would have ever been possible if there had not been a Goliath giant in the crossroads of David's life. None of that. He wouldn't have faced any. He wouldn't have had any of that without Goliath. As hard as it might seem to some of us, as terrible as it looks sometimes in our life, and as impossible as it appears, your giant may be the best thing that ever happened to you. The giant that you are facing in front of you, you say, I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that. And you're the fear. But if you follow what God's telling you. You discern God's will correctly, and you go in His direction. You face whatever it is in front of you. It may be the best thing that's ever happened to you. Because when you face your giant with God's power, your whole life is changed. You become finally free from that stronghold that's been holding you back, fear or whatever else it may be. You understand God's power. You begin to experience God's love. You begin to understand His ability to work in your life and work through you, and it literally changes you forever. When you finally grasp hold of who your God really is. I've faced many giants in the crossroads of my life many times. Growing up in a dysfunctional family, never having a Bible, never knowing anybody that went to church, never seeing my family, no one in my family ever even going to church, and me not even being able to get into a church with friends until I was 15 years old, and that didn't do really anything positive for me along the way. But I've faced many of them, faced those crossroads in my marriage. And with my children, and every church, all five churches I pastored in my ministry, I mean, there were giants. I faced giant. It was like, okay, now the next giant, get out of the way so the next one can come in. It just seemed like that. And the bigger the churches got, the bigger the giants got. And you just have to be able to feel them. But I can tell you the truth today. I can praise God for those giants. Because they taught me the power of God. They taught me what God is able to do. If you've never faced a giant, you've never witnessed the amazing miracles of God. Because when you face those giants, that's when God unleashes His power. That's when God comes up and just surrounds you. And that's when God does things that you can't do. And you realize, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless. And if God doesn't intervene, everything is lost. And then God shows up, and you sit back in embarrassment and say, God, why did I doubt you? Why did I doubt that you would not show up again? Some said David was young and foolish. If he'd been old and wise, as they were, he wouldn't even go into that valley. But it isn't youthful immaturity that motivates David. It's his spiritual maturity. See, as a young man, he had been anointed as the next king by the prophet Samuel already, and that anointing meant that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Listen to me, folks. When you have the anointing of the Lord, you'll attack a giant with a slingshot. Because giant killers don't fight in their own strength. They know their strength comes from the Lord. They know that where God guides, He provides. And David understood that. Because of his anointing, because of the Spirit of God in his life, and because of the experience of God's power that he had. He had a heart that was turned toward God. So, what was it that motivated him? What was it that motivated David to get down there? Well, he tells us himself in verses 45 through 47. In verse 46, he says, he's going to go and he's going to do this because the whole world will know God. Because the whole world will know God, I'm going to go down and face that giant. in there. You see, what looked like an enormous problem was really a golden opportunity for David. Somehow or another, he understood that. He was going to be able to demonstrate the power of God. God was going to show up. He didn't have any doubts about that. He knew God was going to guide him to do his part, and then God was going to do his part, which was going to produce the miracle along the way. Goliath wasn't really a stumbling block for David. He was a stepping stone to God's greatness. And for God to be exalted, the giant who appeared to be a humiliation for God's people ended up being a demonstration of God's power. And that's why a little boy goes out instead of King Saul, the big man, the king, the one everybody looks up to, the one who has all the power. If King Saul takes his beautiful armor that he's already got made, handmade, and he goes out to fight Goliath and he kills Goliath, what are they celebrating that night? What a great king we have. What a great king we have. Saul is our leader. Saul is a powerful man. Saul killed the giant. But if a little shepherd boy goes out and he kills that giant, they've got to all stand back and say, God did that. There's no way that boy could do that by himself. God did that. So who are they celebrating that night? The God of Israel, who kills giants in the crossroads. I believe what some of you are doing here at Madison Avenue Baptist Church now is your opportunity. There's a giant in the crossroad. There's a defining moment in the future. But it is all of that is your opportunity to let all of Blount County, Maryville, Alcoa, everybody around you, maybe even in the world, know that we are worshiping a powerful God at Madison Avenue Baptist Church. That's your defining moment and your opportunity. Second reason, though, David said he was going to go down, he said, because the battle was the Lord's in verse 47. The battle is the Lord's. It's his battle. It's not my battle. I'm just going to be the instrument, but it's his battle. His brothers accused him of grandstanding, showing off, but they were wrong. David was in touch with God. He knew the power of God. God had enabled him to kill a bear and a lion, so he knew God could take care of this giant. So God had prepared him for this day, and he had the courage to face any giant anywhere along the way. It just happened to be on that day. And I have to believe the way God worked with David and his leadership is the same way that God's working with the leadership here in Madison Avenue. God has prepared Madison Avenue Baptist Church for the battle that's in front of us today. You know God can prepare, can provide for your future, don't you? You know God can provide for you because he has taken care of you in the past. What he's done for you in the past proves that he's able to do what you're asking him to do even at this time. A handful of people gathered here almost 70 years ago with nothing but a vision to plant a church in this community. That's all they had. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of people. They didn't have a lot of buildings. All they had was a vision. And there were a handful of people that gathered together and said, you know, that, I like that vision. I think that's what God's up to. I think that's what God's been putting into my heart too. And some like-minded people, a very small group of those people, came together with nothing but a vision to plant a church. How many giants do you think stood in front of that handful of people trying to defeat them back then? How many obstacles do you think that they ran into week after week? I bet it was almost daily that they came to a crossroad. Well, we need to do this now. We need to do that. And there's but if we do that, somebody would say, then here's what we're going to have to do, and we're going to need this, or we don't have that. And how many giants in the crossroad do you think that they had that could have stopped them before this church ever even got off the ground? The vision could have been killed immediately, and I'll talk about vision next week. Today, though, you're stronger than you have ever been, right? Why? With all the stuff that's going on through the years, the difficulties and the obstacles and the people and with all the problems and all that, why is it that you are stronger than ever before? Because the battle is the Lord's, not yours. It's not your battle. It's God's. If you hadn't been faithful when you faced your other giants in the past, the church wouldn't be where it is today. So I hope you understand that God's ready to do a great work in this place because of what he has already done in this place in the past. It proves that God's presence has been here. And God didn't give you all of this just for you. He gave you all of this and gave you the leadership influence in your community that you have in order to reach other people with his word. In order to transform other lives, not just provide for you and what you like, but to be able to help you reach the whole community and have an leadership influence spiritually upon people that you have never met and that you can't really see what's down that road if you go in that direction. Today you're stronger than you've ever been because the battle is the Lord. So I hope you understand that God's ready to do a great work in your life. You see, you have to understand this too. God doesn't need Madison Avenue Baptist Church to accomplish his purpose here in Blount County, in Alcoa, and Maryville. God does not need this church. If this church were not here, if they had failed 60 years ago and the church had died and everybody went their own way, God's will would still be done here in this county. See, God doesn't need Madison Avenue. He doesn't need Grace Baptist Church in Knoxville. He doesn't need any church anywhere to accomplish his will. Because if you don't want to carry out his will, if you don't want to do what it is that God's offering you the opportunity to do, he'll just move down the road to some other church that is willing. He'll move down the road to another crossroads, and he'll bring another church to another crossroad and give them your opportunity that you wouldn't take. And if they get your opportunity, guess what else they get? Your blessings. Your blessings. You know what this sanctuary is? It's a beautiful building, but it's your blessing. It's your blessing that God gave to you as a church family because you were willing to follow God. And you were willing to do some things right. No church does everything right, but you were willing to do some things right. And because you were willing to do what was right, instead of having a handful of people like they had almost 70 years ago, now you have hundreds of people. And if everybody who's a member of this church came, we'd have two services on Sunday morning. Every week we'd have to, wouldn't we? But you have that kind of leadership. You've had that. You have that kind of influence in this community. You don't see it on Sunday morning because only about half the membership show up. But God doesn't need the church. Here's what I'm trying to teach you today. Whose church is it? Okay. Whose sanctuary is it? Who's going to lead you to your new pastor? Whose battle is it? The battle is the Lord's. Don't ever forget that. And then lastly, the third thing David said was he was going to go down. The motivation for him to go down is because others would be encouraged by what he did. He's going to encourage other people. So when Goliath comes crashing to the ground, the soldiers stand there in stunned silence. We didn't think that could ever happen. They don't know what to say. Their mouths are open. They're just standing there staring. They can't believe what's happened. That which 2 minutes before had been impossible to them had now become a reality right before their very eyes. Now look what happens. It says the army of Israel jumped up from the ground. Maybe they just fell down when they saw what happened. They were so stunned. It says they jumped up from the ground. They started shouting, and they started running after the Philistines. Now think about that. They couldn't get one guy to go out in that valley, and when David kills Goliath, they are so encouraged that the entire army runs out into that valley, ready to take on the entire army because of what they have seen. They were that encouraged. Why? Because one young boy had the courage to face the giant and do what they said couldn't be done. The world needs some new stories like David and the giant. People need to see another miracle of a little guy doing the impossible with the Lord. So do you know what you need at Madison Avenue more than you need anything else? That's what I told you last week. You need leaders. You need leaders. Leaders like David, who will step forward and prove to others around them that God gives the victory. They will not see you when you stand up to be. If they see you and think about you when they stand up and listen, that's not what it's about. Something's wrong. They need to see God through you that moves them forward. They need to step forward and prove that God still gives the victory to those who go up against a giant standing in the crossroads. Friends, critics in Baptist churches are a dime a dozen. Like the kudzu along the road. You know, it's everywhere. We need some godly men. And we need some godly women. And young people of faith who will be examples of faithful leaders. You need some men and women to step forward and become giant killers at Madison Avenue Baptist Church. Don't let those things get out that would begin to tear down what God's built up. So the question I leave you with today is, who will lead the way in facing the giants that you're going to have to face in the next days to come? Who's going to be a part of that leadership at Madison Avenue Baptist Church? Let's pray together. And I'd like for you to ask this question as you pray. Question you heard in the upper room by all the disciples. They said, Lord, is it I? Ask God that question. Use those very words. Lord, is it I? Am I supposed to be some kind of leader? Can I really be used to be a giant killer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the lessons that span thousands of years from a little boy who's a shepherd who had the faith in God to go up against a giant in the crossroad of his life. Because, Lord, I know that lesson is something you want all of us to learn at a very early age. You want us to learn to trust in you. You want us to learn to depend upon you in those conflicts of life and the difficulties and the obstacles and the enemies of life. And Lord, I thank you for Madison Avenue Baptist Church. I thank you for what they have meant to this community through the years and the influence that they've had upon families, individuals, whole communities, Lord, whole sections of this town. Lord, I thank you for the ways in which you have ministered to people through them. But Lord, my prayer is today you'd do it again. That you would help them to begin to see that the vision that you have for this church is not even close to being fulfilled. The vision which they think is only about 70 years old goes way back further than that. That it is your vision that is leading this group of people that you banded together to be able to make a huge difference. But to do that, we have to face the giants in the crossroads. Lord, pull out those leaders. Draw them out. Lead them out, Lord. Show them what it is and where it is. And we trust you, Lord, that you're going to do what you need to do in our lives. And I pray for those people that you've called out today. And that they would know and they would respond as David, knowing that it was the Lord's work. It was the Lord's fight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The invitation today is for you as a whole church. That's the primary invitation. That you individually would make a commitment today. I don't know what it is. I don't know people enough to know what your individual commitment is. But I know that God's word is not going to return void. I know that what he laid on my heart so strongly this week is something that you needed to hear. Some part of that. And so did you hear what God was going to tell you? Did you hear what God sent you here? If you did, then you need to respond. How you respond is up to you. You can respond in just a prayer between you and God. Make a commitment to him, but he wants some kind of response. No response is a response. It's a no. But you tell God what you're willing to do. If you're willing to be anything. When I made my commitment back many years ago, I said in that Lord's Supper service, Lord, I want to be used by you. Whatever you want me to do, I'm telling you, I'm available. And that's the kind of commitment I'm hoping that you will make. Had no idea of being in the ministry, no idea of being a pastor. That was not a part of my thinking at that time. But when God calls you, then God's going to do something through you. Let's stand together as we sing. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'll be here at the front. We'd love to pray with you, talk with you, answer your questions, and lead you to the throne of God's grace today as we sing.